The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing," and they said to him, "We will go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." So Jesus said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. So Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Simon said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." So Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to be here with you today. We are just a few weeks into our Easter season, a time when we settle into the light and the joy brought forth by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Scripture, it's a time when the disciples are coming to terms with this new Jesus, as well as figuring out how to go on without his physical presence on earth. And it's a time when we're invited to explore through their stories and scriptures how we might live out our Christian lives today. Today's reading from Acts tells of the conversion of Saul, who later became St. Paul. Now, Saul was a Roman citizen and a Jew who brought threats and murder upon the disciples of the Lord. On his way to Damascus, He has a religious experience that alters his world forever. In this conversion story that is unlike any other, we watch as the man who boldly fought against the followers of Jesus is brought to his knees, blinded and left alone in darkness for days. His only hope lies in the hands of Ananias, a follower of Jesus, the very target of his persecution. This direct encounter with Jesus, along with the actions of Ananias, will transform and shift Paul's life, Saul's life, from that of the premier voice against the Christian church to one of the most significant leaders in Christianity. But what about Ananias? The Bible tells us only that he was a disciple of Jesus in Damascus. We heard how Jesus came to him and commanded him to go to Saul to bring healing. At first, he resisted, questioning Jesus' command. Ananias' character is revealed not by what we know of him, but is demonstrated by what he did, by his example. It's from Ananias that we have the most to learn, and as a result, the most to consider about how Jesus is speaking to us through this scripture. So Ananias finds himself in the midst of an internal struggle. Jesus has called upon him, and in faith, he wants to answer. He wants to obey. Not only has he been asked to bless and heal another person, but this person is the most publicly known danger and threat to his community and to him. Saul is someone about whom Ananias has already formed opinions. And we too may find ourselves in similar situations. We may have observed and heard stories about others. And as we take them on as truth, we begin to cast a bit of judgment. We craft our opinions about who they are and what they represent, especially in the context of how they might be a threat, real or imagined, to us. And keeping them at a distance is easy, it's safe. It doesn't require much of us except to be right. Even if someone casts doubt upon our position, we hold out against them. As with Ananias, Jesus often calls us to engage our perceived enemy. When we're confronted by things like an argument with a friend, a manipulative coworker, or a person who holds political or social views that are the polar opposite of ours, it can be easy to blame, to hold a grudge, or to just ignore what's going on and turn our heads. Jesus calls each of us, regardless of our vocation or our position in society, to extend ourselves to others, especially to those we dislike, disrespect, or with whom we disagree. In Ananias' case, the request is huge. He is asked by Jesus to do the hardest thing of all, to extend the love of Christ to his enemy. Now, can you imagine for a moment the push and the pull that Ananias might have experienced? Yes, Lord, I want to follow, but that? No, Lord, I know we're called to love even our enemies, but I think you've gone off your rocker. You've got to be kidding me. And in response, Jesus swoops in, reminding Ananias that he, Jesus, is the God of all, the God of the good and the bad, the God of the follower and the persecutor. Jesus has a plan for the future of the kingdom. And not only is Saul a part of that plan, Ananias is asked to play a part too. The encounter between Ananias and Saul, to me, is the heart and the soul of this scripture lesson. By Ananias' example, we are given four lessons that we can apply in our lives today that might help us to better follow Jesus, especially when it's hard. The first lesson is the lesson of invitation. When Ananias greeted Saul, he spoke the words, "Brother Saul." These simple words of inclusion and welcome invited Saul into the community of followers. The first thing that we're called to do as Christians is to invite others in, to include them in our community. Most of us have experienced what it's like to be included, and sadly also what it's like to be excluded. Deep in our hearts, we all desire to belong. So when we encounter another who confronts us or who is a stranger, remembering to extend a greeting of welcome and inclusion brings Christ into the space between us. The second lesson is that of bestowing a blessing. Upon meeting Saul, Ananias blessed him in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, we may not go around offering up a blessing in Jesus' name to every person we meet. We do, however, have the opportunity to carry the name and the blessing of Jesus within us, so that each time we encounter another person, Jesus is present. And then in the moment when we're invited by Jesus or by another to verbally bestow a blessing, we may do so in Christ's name. One of the most sacred moments between Ananias and Saul was the moment Saul was healed. Ananias laid hands upon him, and we're told something like scales fell from his eyes and his sight was restored. This amazing experience of healing that brought Saul out of the darkness of 3 days into the new life of Christ makes me think of Easter. The road from the darkness of Good Friday into the new life of Christ found in the resurrection. By Ananias' hand, Saul experienced a miraculous healing, physically and spiritually. And by God's hands, we are given a new, whole, and complete life in Jesus that may heal the woundedness and the brokenness in our lives. We, like Saul, have been given hope. Ananias demonstrates in his third lesson how we might listen for God's direction, show up, and offer another wholeness and healing. Some may be in need of physical healing, while for others, the need may be for healing of a spiritual or an emotional or a psychological nature. One thing we can do today is to pray with and listen to one another, sharing in these healing gifts and actions together can transform our lives beyond our imagining. And the fourth and last lesson that Ananias teaches us is that we must reconcile ourselves with one another in forgiveness. Forgiveness couldn't have been an easy thing for Ananias to bestow. Yes, he welcomed Saul into the community. He blessed him and he healed him. Saul, a man who by all rights had no place in this community of believers, was baptized with the Holy Spirit and was gifted a new beginning, a new birth in Christ. Forgiveness was necessary for Saul and for the community. And if Saul, the persecutor of Christians, could be forgiven, we must believe that we too can be. Now, I found myself wondering, what might have happened if Ananias had refused Jesus' command? If Saul hadn't been healed, baptized, and forgiven, Where might the Christian church be today? Would it have survived? We can only speculate because, you know, we can never really know what the outcomes of our actions will be, nor the consequences of our inactions. And I also wonder, if we could call upon these lessons from Ananias to guide and to strengthen us in our daily struggles and challenges, how might our lives be changed? Jesus beckons us to listen, to pause, and encourage and trust to do our best to follow his commands. The lessons of Ananias remind us to extend ourselves through invitation, by giving blessing, by praying for and offering healing, and by showing forgiveness. As any one of these could make a difference for others, for me and for you. Remember, in difficult times when we feel threatened or afraid, lost and alone, or in need of healing and reconciliation, Jesus is there. He invites us in, he blesses us, he brings forth healing, and by his grace and mercy, we are forgiven. Jesus says to us, "Sister, brother, you are welcome here." Amen.